It's a piece of cake, it's like a pretty cake. If the way is hazy, you gotta do the cooking by the book. You know you can feel easy. Never use a messy recipe. The cake will end up crazy. If you do the cooking by the book, then you'll have
more cake. Let me see you back it up. Shut that ass down, load it, pick that motherfucker up. Bring it down, bitch. Let me see you back it up. Oh, the Little John mashup with Lazy Town.
Best thing the internet has ever produced.
No, it's up there. It's up there.
I'm going to drink some Revolution. I don't know what you want.
I'll abstain for right now.
Okay.
I don't know what the roads look like. Actually, why don't I check the weather cams?
There you go. That's then you don't even have to walk upstairs.
Yeah.
Freaking internet. Saving us a trip upstairs. How's your diet plan thing going?
These pants are too big.
Awesome. It's always a great problem to have.
Yeah, no, I'm down to a 38, and these are 40, so this belt is too big. So yeah.
How's the rate of decrease? How's that going?
I mean, it slowed from what it was like right, you know, at the start.
Right.
But as I've adjusted, you know, and I've been working out more, I've been doing more exercise and things like that, I've been doing it well. I mean, it works. It is working very well, and it's continuing to do their job. So, and the nice thing about it is it's relatively slow. I mean, I think if it were super fast, if it were like, you know, the stomach, like people who do the stomach surgery type thing, and then you get the situations where they always bounce back.
Right.
And I think doing it slow.
Yeah, bounce backs are a big problem. I mean, but, you know, everywhere you're gonna hit these plateaus, you know, no matter the diet. So I was just curious, you know, if you've, you know, had plateaus.
I hit a plateau about 470, and I've had to adjust slightly the way I was doing things. And one thing I was doing, I noticed I was using a lot of canned beans a lot. And I started just using the dried beans and making them. And I think that's helped.
Well, what do you think is the difference between the canned beans? I mean, I would think lower sodium.
Lower sodium is something, even though I was getting the reduced sodium stuff. But it's also, there's chemicals in the plastic that are lining all the cans that
fucking BPA.
Rather avoid, if possible.
So the BPA is already in your system. You ain't getting that out.
But rather avoid, you know, adding extra BPA
whenever
possible. And I also think there was just some sort of just general refinement. I mean, the thing about it is that you refine it along the way. I've been able to take certain things out of my diet, add certain things in. I've found that, like, I can have very little in the morning and still be okay. And I've been able to adjust what I can have. Like, it's okay for me to have 2 tablespoons or so of cottage cheese in the morning. That's almost all protein. It doesn't affect you the same way other milk stuff does. So a little bit of cottage cheese in the morning is almost all protein. That's really good to get you started. Then the rest of the day, you're kind of fine. You really don't have to get much. I've been eating some slightly more leafy greens than I did normally. And slightly lowered my portions, and I've also been doing exercise. I think that combined thing has helped me get over a little bit of a hump.
Cool. Well, good job.
Thank you. Do I look better?
You do. It, seeing you, you know, every 7 days, it's still difficult. You know, it took a while, but like a couple weeks ago, I don't know, about a month ago, Heather, you know, saw you because she usually doesn't see you when you come in. And she's like, wow, you know, she definitely noticed the difference. But you know, thinking back, yeah, I definitely see a difference. But I see you. I don't see you every day, but seeing you every once a week, it's still, you know, that whole memory thing we talked about in the pre-show, right? It gets readjusted so gradually,
right?
Like today at the birthday party that we were at, I saw one of Allison's second cousins, and the dude, you know, haven't seen him in maybe a year and a half, and puberty happened in a year and a half. Uh-huh. He walked in the door. I didn't know who he was.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it just like, and the same thing happened with his older brother. But I mean, this kid's face had changed so much. Until his little brother came in behind him, I had no idea who walked in the door.
I think that's drivable. That should be fun.
Yeah, that's probably okay. You can always run upstairs if you want to. Yeah. But my road's hardly a good sample road.
Yeah,
right?
I was just trying, like, some of them, like, there's one that's just a picture of a high school football field. And yeah, that's going to be covered with snow. But I'm looking for ones of roads, mm-hmm. and the roads look okay.
Hey, like my little 12-in-1 safety thing.
Yeah, I saw that. And the weird thing about those is okay, so let me take a look at this for a second. Okay, so
it came with a card that told you what everything was, but right. I don't have that card with me. So
it's got a little saw on it, has a bottle opener, has two moderately sharp edges.
Can opener.
Has a can opener.
Yeah, it's a can opener.
Okay. Has a ruler, and then these things here, these cutouts.
Supposed to be wrenches.
Oh.
See?
I guess.
I can't imagine they'd work that well, but they're supposed to be wrenches. I'll tweet a picture of this thing, so you can go to my old Twitter and find that.
What is this thing for?
What's that?
That's bottle opener.
That's the bottle opener there. Yeah.
This, I don't know.
Well, it's funny that they wasted all that space making a bottle opener when this can opener piece could also open a bottle.
Yeah.
This is a smaller wrench thing, I think, over here. See, this is a compass, right? They have the lines. Very bad compass. Like, so you could figure out degrees on a map. So, 90, 45.
I mean, the weird thing about, like, okay, if you're using it as a wrench, if you're using a wrench, something like this, if you're using a wrench, uh-huh.
then you're going to want sharp edges.
Yeah, you have sharp edges, and that's not good.
No. This is like one of the 12-in-1 is this little hole so you can tie a string around it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so you can hang it around your neck. That's a tool. And this long narrow slit, I forget what that's for. It was, I don't know, some website deal of the day thing where you can get stuff for free. And this was one of them. Heather ordered it because it was free.
You get what you pay for.
I'm like, whatever. I get me that because I want to laugh at it. It was the main reason I got it. Could you imagine this 1-inch saw? How useful that would be?
Gotta find a saw. Oh. Wait, I have that 12-in-1 die-cast piece of shit somewhere.
Stainless steel, though.
Yeah.
But a 1-inch saw? If you're cutting anything more than a 1/4-inch stick, you're not going to get anywhere.
And it's got sharp edges, so how are you going to use it to get any leverage?
I could cut this coaster with it, and that's about it.
Yeah. It works! It works! Hallelujah!
It cuts cardboard.
Cardboard that's supposed to crumble. Yeah, the problem with multi tools, is particular cheap multi tools, is they don't do any of what they're supposed to do pretty very well. I doubt that even opens bottles that well.
I think it opens bottles. It should open. That would work. We should have used it for the show.
We do have enough bottle openers around here. I don't even have my butterfly bottle opener with me.
Yeah. It's no decap and catcher, that's for sure.
It is no decap and catcher.
Decap and catcher is a nice product. It's just the price point was way too high.
I noticed you had this slide.
Yeah, I was cleaning out. It was in my nightstand drawer upstairs, and I was cleaning it out, and I just
the green laser I gave Jeff.
The less than fancy one. Greg kept the fancy one with all the lenses that do all kinds of like light shows.
Yeah, but that one broke.
Oh, bummer.
So all I have is the most powerful one.
The most powerful. It happens to be in your bag?
It's in my bag somewhere. I think it should be in my bag. I haven't used it in a while.
For whenever Greg wants to crash airplanes.
It's a nice tool. But yeah, I don't even know where it is, to be honest with you.
Well, if you would like your green laser back. Because it's like one of those things, I can't let the kids play with it, right?
Right.
Because if they happen to point it at their eyes, they'll go blind. So... it's a neat toy, but you know, like I said, I can't even trust Allison to use it because who knows if she's gonna spontaneously swing it around into her face.
No, it was my niece was like that when she was six. She was like, let me use it. I promise I won't do it. And then, of course, what the first thing she did, she started aiming it around all things. And it's like, okay, you can't use this.
Exactly. So if you want to take that back, I would not feel slighted in the least.
No. Keep it for now.
All right. I'm just tweeting a picture of the awesome free.
But it's a good one. It's got a nice, powerful.
It does. It makes a beam of light in the air so you can point out things like stars.
Yeah. I might as well keep one here with all the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, keep it.
Okay. Oh, let's see. What else? Joe Schmo, we talked about that. I don't know. What else is going on?
You know, a lot of my time is being taken up with work and looking for work.
Uh-huh, right.
So there's not a lot that I can bring up that's all that interesting that I can think of. The Pope? We didn't talk about the Pope. I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah. Whoop-de-doo. Pope. Oh, it hasn't been done in 700 years. Must be important.
State of the Union.
I'm trying to think. I had a few things. Oh, what were they?
The asteroids were the real cool science stuff that's happened. We've already kind of covered those.
Yeah, I mean, this is just like the pre-show. We started out really crappy, and then we got on a roll. So let's just try to get that roll to start sooner here. Oh, here's something. Check out the points on these pencils. This is from an X-Acto electric pencil sharpener sitting over there. Isn't that pretty? This is pretty amazing. This is horrible radio, but that's a pretty awesome pencil point, isn't it?
Really?
You don't think so?
I don't see what the big deal is.
That I have a pencil.
I have an aversion to very sharp pencil points because I find they break too easily.
Okay.
So I kind of like them to be kind of dull and thick. That's just me because I'm a bad student. When I draw, I push down really
hard.
Did
you ever take a engineering or a drafting class or anything like that?
No.
Okay. So, you know, I did. And, you know, that's why I'm thinking about it. Because, like, we had these kind of, they were like mechanical pencils, but they weren't like 0.05 or 0.07. They were really thick leads. And then we had this little thing on the desk where you put the pencil and you spin it around and kind of honed the point down,
mm-hmm.
you know, so to keep the really, and you know, basically when you're doing drafting and stuff, no one draws drafting with pencils anymore. But if you did, you need to constantly have a sharp point, right? So like you only draw for like a minute or two between, you know, sharpening your pencil. So maybe I'm just thinking back to those days and maybe thinking these points are, I don't know. I've just never seen a pencil point quite like these.
But you know, these are pretty archaic things when you think about it. I mean, they're still useful in schools because they're cheap. But yeah, I mean, like you said, everything's computer assisted drafting now. You're not going to do much with pencils besides mark things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a relatively inefficient way of doing marking.
You know, speaking of that, I've had two or three situations lately where I've needed to diagram something. And instead of opening the diagramming program and drawing it on the computer, I've drawn it on a piece of paper and I've shot a picture of it and sent that in the email because it was just quicker to draw. So it's kind of one of those cases where not using technology is actually quicker.
Well, it's weird because when I'm designing something, like, you know, at work when I'm designing a database, usually I'll draw it out on a whiteboard and then take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because cameras are ubiquitous and the ability to take pictures is ubiquitous. And
remember the smart board we had at Nauticon?
Yes, I do remember. we had a board that was hooked up to computers. It was a whiteboard set of computers, so it knew what you were writing.
You used special markers.
Yeah.
So they weren't markers. They were just things with sensors in the tip. And you would grab the red one out of the red slot and touch it to the board. And there was a projector that would shine on the board and draw where you had marked.
Yeah.
And the benefit here is that you could save it. And like thinking back, like I had this conversation with someone just the other day about the smart board at Nauticom. Yeah, like I like he didn't work there, but I'm like, yeah, the smart board. It was so we could save the whiteboard. I'm like, and look, like everyone just snaps photos of whiteboards. It's like, what? It's such a wrong way to solve that problem, the smart board.
Yeah, well, cameras weren't. I mean, digital cameras didn't have very good resolution at that point, and they weren't nearly as ubiquitous. I mean, they were around, but their resolution was really poor.
But, like, think of the engineering to make a smart board versus the engineering to make a good camera phone. It's like...
It was a question of cost. It was cost versus, you know, it was opportunity cost. That's what it was.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, you know, like, can you, like, who has a smart board anymore? Actually, I've seen some around. I was in an office just recently, and someone had a smart board in the corner. I don't know if it's ever been used, but
well, that wasn't the only thing. There were these pads that you would write down that would remember it and save what you'd like, just individual writing pads that would save what you wrote to the computer. Like you'd have a digital pen or something.
Yeah, one guy at work has. I think that's what he has. He has a pen, which has like a USB port on it.
Yeah.
And then he has a special pad of paper and there's like little like icons down at the bottom, right? And he writes and I guess he loads it into his computer. I don't know.
But I think it's useful for people who really still have the writing down kick. That's what they like to do. You and me, I think that we are the generation where typing is easier for us. And everybody past us is at the generation too. Keyboards are more ubiquitous and more, they're more available, weirdly, than pens and paper. Probably because you don't have to deal with the issue of handwriting, you have to deal with that sort of thing. Once you know a keyboard, it's as easy as writing handwriting. In fact, I think easier because my hand always gets tired if I write too much. My hands don't necessarily get tired if I type too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I've taken to, like, going to meetings with just a notebook. It speeds the meeting along if everyone just has a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's that whole reconciling your notes type thing, and maybe that's where the computer pen thing works. I'm decidedly low-tech. I don't photograph or scan my notes. I just kind of flip back to them. So there's probably an improvement there, but I don't have a ton of those kinds of meetings.
Yeah, I don't photograph my notes. I photograph whiteboards.
Mm-hmm.
But those are transient things. That, you know, they're supposed to be erased, so that's why you photograph them.
Right.
Notes, you know. But I also prototype out my databases on a notepad, yeah, like a legal pad. So I mean, it's still useful. The idea of the paperless office is obviously ridiculous.
Another thing, a weird thing I do for transient type things is like when we have gear in for repair or something like that, I have a manila folder and inside the folder stuck to it is a bunch of post-it notes. So when a device, when a server comes in that's broken, I'll write its name on the post-it note, put the post-it note in the folder. And when it goes up, I peel the post-it note off the folder. You know, sure, I could have a database or a simple table or a spreadsheet or something to track this stuff. But I find that there's the work to set it up, but there's also the maintenance. And I just find I'm a lot more apt to keep this record up to date with these, you know, post-it notes stuck to folders. I don't know why that works for me. But
you know, I mean, it's one of those things where it's okay. You know, if that works for you, that's great. As you get larger and you have to manage more things, that will become an untenable situation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't argue that at all. But like, you know, remembering to go to this web page and change the status of this device to be, you know, it just, the stuff that's in for repair is in this folder, you know. It just, I don't know. I just find that it's easier to conform to that workflow. But yeah, I definitely understand how when there's 20 people in my department, we can't all be working out of the same folder.
Where's your folder again?
Did you put my post-it notes? Stole my post-it note. What the hell, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to talk more because I know there's stuff.
That's there interesting, is. But there's all kinds of awesome stuff.
Yeah, but I'm drawing blanks.
I just got Crazy Town running through my head now.
Lazy Town.
Lazy Town.
Not Crazy Town. It's Lazy Town.
Okay, Lazy Town. Gotta do the cooking by the book.
Let's see.
What the hell. I had like three or four things. I'm like, oh, this would be great, and of course I didn't.
Any? I've already talked about run-ins with presuppositional apologetics. Those are always fun. Jesus stuff.
Oh.
I get kind of annoyed when people like, okay, so this the Astory thing just happened recently, and the internet brings out the worst in people, including me, because there was this whole thing about possible options, ways to, as in Washington Post, the whole thing about ways to adjust, you know, what ways to affect a possible asteroid coming in, and they talked about the gravity tractor idea, which is, you know, basically park a large spacecraft nearby, and the inertial gravity will change it. But one person asked, is there a way, what if you used a big magnetic force, would that affect the gravity situation? And I wanted to scream at that person. Gravity and magnetism are not the same thing. They're different forces entirely. They don't work the same way. You can't do that.
Well,
okay. And so I just posted something saying gravity and magnet. I had this whole big thing, this whole thing about that, and I saw it was kind of long, and I just turned down to gravity and magnetism are not the same force, and just posted that out.
If the asteroid was Ferris, though, you could use a big electromagnet to pull on it, right?
Let's say there was a reasonably large asteroid, which is the only thing we'd try to deflect, that would react to magnetic fields. Well,
it falls off so quickly that the distances would make it untenable, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to assume, first of all, that it would react the same way on all ways to a magnetic field, which is ridiculous. I mean, this is an asteroid that's pulled together stuff. It's not a bar magnet, right? So it's not going to just pull in one direction. It's got to have, you know, magnetic fields probably sprouting through it all. But it, anyway, regardless of that, to make a magnetic field large enough to have any impact whatsoever is, you may have to throw the LHC up there. That's the kind of amount of magnetic force you're talking about. That's ridiculous.
Okay. See, my intuition doesn't make it seem as ridiculous, but I've never.
And I think it's actually would be strong. I think the LHC wouldn't even make a difference. I think you'd really have to have the kind of magnetism from like a solar flare. So something three or four times the size of.
I think the problem with magnetism, and where my intuition breaks down, but the part I could still accept is, you know, if you could be a few inches to a foot from, you know, like the magnetic pull is going to drop off at like an inverse cube, right? I mean, it drops off crazy, right? And so you have to be really freaking close. So if you could get like a foot from the asteroid and turn on the magnets and use anti-thrusters to keep you from crashing into the asteroid, right? It could work.
But then, the amount of magnetic attraction compared to, I mean, electromagnetism is a much stronger force, you know, at small scales than gravity, but at large scales, gravity completely overwhelms it. And at that kind of scale, gravity is completely overwhelming any electromagnetic force you're talking about. It's not comparable.
Okay. Gotcha. Right, right. So you're not talking about junkyard magnet. You're talking about super junkyard magnet.
Yeah, you're talking about, so, I mean, this is something that is, like we said, possibly millions of tons.
Keep talking.
So if you're talking about something that's millions of tons, doing any sort of delta V on that is ridiculous with the small amount of Teslas that you can make from a simple electromagnet. It just doesn't make any sense. And I think the problem is that Jeff has these, I guess, these rare earths magnets that he has to play with. So the problem is that these are, people think
this is my finger.
Yeah. People, do these come from hard drives?
Yeah.
Yeah. People think on this level. People think that magnets are, reasonably strong. They're, obviously this magnet is holding this one up much stronger than the whole gravity of the Earth.
Get these two apart with your fingers, you're not going to be able to do it.
So that's really strong. So why can't you just park a really big magnet? Well, these things don't scale up like gravity does. It kind of reminds me, I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. But so if you go back into the 20s, when they didn't really know much about quantum mechanics and relativity had just sort of gotten around, general relativity just sort of gotten around, and it was really cool because suddenly you could describe this force with gravity as this four-dimensional thing. And this other guy came up with the idea of, well, what if you took electromagnetism and also defined it as a dimension? And he found that you do that and Maxwell's laws just pop out, same as they should. So the idea was, is electromagnetism just an extra dimension in space? Well, the problem, and you sent out to Einstein was interested in everything, but the problem was, well, gravity takes up all those dimensions. Gravity takes up those 3 + 1. So where is this other dimension that we should be seeing? And after a while, then also Dirac came along, and we found out about antiparticles, and suddenly it wasn't nearly that simple. But it was fascinating because that's sort of the genesis of the idea of multiple dimensions, and where string theory ultimately led to that. But it came from this idea that you could the same way that you're describing gravity as a dimensional thing, as an aspect of multiple dimensional thing, you can, if you add dimensions, you can describe certain aspects of other things, like in this case, electrical charge, as another dimension. But like I said, the problem is that all the four that we see are taken up by relativity.
So some of the items that were purchased on Amazon in the past, for this month. So I see your dice are on here.
Yep.
I don't think these are you. Those guys have all the fun. Inside the World of ESPN. That was a $4.46 ebook where we got 27 cents. Woohoo!
Yay!
We got the, is the Eat Smart Precision Digital Bathroom Scale yours?
Yes.
Okay. The Black & Decker Smart Boil Stainless Steel Kettle. Like a little boiling water kettle?
No.
Nope. Okay, so we got that one. We got $2.23 off the kettle.
Thank you.
Garmin Forerunner 410 GPS enabled sports watch was a $181 product. We got $7.27 from that. Thank you. Handheld tape dispenser, which was $8.29. We got 33 off that. 33 cents. Nature's Variety Prairie Dog Food Mix. That was a $3. We got a $3 referral off that. Tecton Every Bit Electronic Repair Screwdriver 135-piece set.
Cool.
All your dice. And then video game, Fire Emblem Awakening. So, yeah, the other people are using this stuff.
Sweet. It's all going to the show.
And let's see, the total for this quarter to date was like $55.
Yay!
Oh, I need to change that over to my bank account so we don't get an Amazon gift card. Because we're going to get a $50 Amazon gift card we have to spend.
That's not going to be helpful.
Need to change it over to direct deposit. I'll do that tonight before they cash us out for like this month or something like that. They'll do direct deposits for... they won't cut you a check for less than $100, but they'll do direct deposits for like 20 or more, I think. So keep talking it up. We might get a decent revenue stream. I mean, everyone shops at Amazon, right?
Yeah.
If we can just convince them it's worth the effort to go to craftbeerradio.com/Amazon.
All you have to do is plant that,
and
that
if
suggestion.
If that's too long to type, you can also type craftbeerradio.com/A.
Whoa, you didn't even mention that.
No. It's harder to remember, so.
But, the only thing we have to do is plant that suggestion, and hopefully enough people will... I mean, people are going to do it without thinking, but then they're going to be the same people are going to be like, oh, yeah. But, I mean, there are also other people, you know, you can support a bunch of other podcasts and or, you know, organizations, people that way. So, you know, I'd recommend not just us. I mean, although if you want to do just us, that's great. But, you know, there are other people you can support with this method just by buying shit for you, and it gives mm-hmm. them money.
Right. Absolutely. There's Basic Brewing Radio, which, you know, James has been doing it long before us. He did once tell me, Jeff, you really got to get on this Amazon affiliate thing. It makes real money. And so I'm like, but you're already doing it, and we share so much of a listener base. Yeah. But no, he's fine with it, so he's fine with us promoting it also. It's like we're stealing his audience. Much. I was just listening to his podcast today, and he was talking about how, like, he's almost humble, you know, he feels humbled by, like, how much money comes in through the Amazon thing. Like, man, why didn't we start this 5 years ago? Why did I slack on it?
Well, because five years ago we would have pocketed it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think now we're mature enough and old enough, and we've gotten to, you know, love our listeners enough, I guess, to think that, you know, they're not paying to give us money. You know, they're not doing this to give us money. They're doing this because they love the show and they want the show to be better. And so we're going to put all that into the show.
Yep. So $417 was spent so far in February.
Wow. That's pretty good.
And, like I said, the quarter to date was like $55 earned.
It's a start.
It is.
I
definitely see us getting to the Great American Beer Fest this year.
This mixer was 170, I think.
I thought it was like 117 or...
No.
No? Was it more? Okay. Yeah, I got to pay you for that. We'll use the... some of the funds we got recently and also the previous funds from last year.
I bought it from my account because I have Amazon Prime, so it got here quick.
Turns out some of my purchases do... Like if I... So I sneaky... If I use my incognito, you know, Chrome browser and log into my other account, I get the referral bonus.
What?
I placed an order and didn't get the referral.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, some of the items I ordered weren't eligible for referral or something like that.
Well, okay, did the mixer get... You sent me the link for the mixer with the referral.
Yeah, it should have been in there. It's not up here yet, but sometimes it takes a few days.
Yeah. So there's the order total is $163.99, so...
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't on the list. Sometimes it takes a few days.
Okay, here's something interesting.
Yeah, there's been $1,000.17 spent on Amazon this year.
Go back to my dice.
Okay.
Oh, it opened up and all my dice fell out.
Damn it, the dice have fallen out.
Well, take a look at some of these dice. See if you find something interesting, because I found something. I was looking at them, really. I took a picture of all my dice. I put it up online. And then I found something very interesting about the dice, or one die in particular.
Should I just casually look at them, or should I examine them?
Examine them. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time trying to figure out what's going on.
I think that's all of them.
I was looking at the arrangement of the numbers on some of them and seeing how they kind of walked around the dice last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to spend too much time looking for the wrong thing here.
Well, that is what I noticed. But I think I noted it, the other ones seem to be reasonably randomly distributed. And the one that does not seem to be randomly distributed is a 30-sided die.
Is that this one here?
Yeah. I notice it seems like all the low ones are on one half and all the high ones are on another half.
You can also like walk from like an adjacent square to adjacent square and get through a lot of them. 1, 2, 3. Well, 4 is not adjacent. 5, 6, 7, 8. 9's not adjacent. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 15's not adjacent. 16's not adjacent. So I mean, higher up, it gets 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 are all adjacent. 23 is actually adjacent. 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29,
30.
30. Yeah, so there's like only like 4 breaks. Like there, I don't know if that wrecks the statistics, but yeah, there's a lot of adjacent numbers.
That's the question. I mean, the thing is that if this die is improperly weighted, then it would certainly affect the statistics. If it's properly weighted, then I don't know.
So actually, I did notice that on that dice last week, where there, you know, the numbers kind of were all adjacent and walked through it.
The other ones don't, you know, are more randomly distributed. Now, just like all the die, one, the opposite end is, they're always going to add up to the die plus one. So this one, the opposite end is going to be 30. This three, the opposite end is 28.
Now, the 100-sided die, how, you can walk the numbers fairly well. I noticed that last week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then 6 is somewhere else.
I know that reading about that die, that it originally was in a less favorable configuration, and they changed it so it's more randomized.
I see.
But this one, I mean, the thing is, like, if it's going to be on this side, then it's roughly going to be in the 20s. It's going to be on this side, it's roughly going to be in the 10s. So I don't know. I think that makes it statistically a poor die.
Let me see. I rolled 23 when I was trying to keep 30 near the top. Let's see. I only got a 6 that time. So, but a skilled roller could definitely game that one, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know. I know that the thing is that, you know, these aren't really used. These, I took out the 100, the 24, and the 30, which I bought because they're interesting, but they're not really used. The ones that are used are those. The 20, the 12, the 2 10s, the 4, the 6, and the 8. Oh, I didn't explain what... I told all about the Platonic Solids, but I didn't explain what Platonic Solids were.
Okay.
It's cool. So there are only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Platonic solids. So the definition of Platonic solid is each side, it's a three-dimensional shape, right? Each side is the same face.
Look at the pattern on this one. You're telling me if that's concerning. It's the 8-sided dice.
Yeah.
Odds are on one hemisphere, evens are on the other hemisphere, and they're in clockwise order.
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, back to the Platonic solid. So each side is the same shape face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And each vertex, each point where the sides come together, looks the same.
Okay.
So at every corner of the cube, there are 3 squares.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At every corner of the icosahedron, the 20-sided die, there are 5 triangles.
What, this one's a dodecahedron, right?
Yeah, it's also a dodecahedron. In every corner, there are 3 pentagrams.
Sounds evil.
You could only do that with those 5 shapes. You can prove that mathematically, but it's going too far to prove it.
The 8-sided dice, I see you're right. It just doesn't seem symmetrical. It seems like the angles would... No, the angles aren't all the same. You sure this counts? Because there's a 90-degree angle this way, and there's not a 90... You know, the angles aren't all the same on this one.
The angles...
These ones, the angles are all the same no matter which way you look at it. That one, the angles are not the same.
Where, well,
there's an equator
there,
on that one.
There's an equator in this one, so the angle here is not the same, but each vertex looks the same.
No, it doesn't.
every vertex.
This vertex, the North Pole, has four sides and is a 60-degree angle on each one. This one has four sides and there's a 90-degree angle on this two sides. Boom. Ineligible.
Wait a minute.
Because these ones, no matter what side is up, it looks the same. That one is not true.
Maybe it's... I know this is a platonic solid.
It's not the same as these ones.
So, are we sure?
I don't know about names. I'm just saying it's not the same as these. These are the same no matter what side is facing up. If you took the numbers off of these and rolled it, it would always look exactly the same.
Right.
That one does not.
But it does have the same number of faces from every vertex.
The angles of the vertices are not the same.
The angles of the vertices are not the same, but the faces are the same. The number of faces are the same. There's always going to be four triangles mm-hmm. from wherever you look.
And they're all equilateral triangles.
Right. And they're each triangle is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So even though the angles here are slightly different, it's still the same triangles that are here.
And you sure, always get sure. Four. But it's, so, not, it's not a symmetrical...
It's not a fully symmetrical. No, that's true.
So... I don't know how they classify it, but this one is not. This one is not like the others.
It's an oddball.
Now this one, let's see.
See that what that is looking at the 24 side. That's really it's a cube that's sort of pushed out.
Right, but let's compare the traits of the 8-sided mm-hmm. and the 24-sided.
Well, from those, the vertexes are not the same. You don't get the same same number. For sure.
Oh, so for this vertex, you don't get four. You get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So some corners you get four, some corners you get six.
Yeah.
So it's more like a soccer ball, right? Where there's soccer ball has, you know, hexagons and pentagons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stitched together.
Those are all the same shape, though, but mm-hmm. at the vertexes you get different.
Yeah, this one's obvious that it's just a cube with extra points. No, if they made the points a little bit longer, would it be different? Like if... No, I guess not. Or if they shrunk these ones in... Like if they made this more round,
mm-hmm.
would it... No, it's still 4 and 6. I guess you're right. I guess so. Okay. Damn. Geometry.
Yes.
Not geography, not physics. The other class I was thinking of.
This one is like 5 and 3, the 30-sided die. You get the five, it's these rhombuses, is each facet, mm-hmm. and you get 5, or you get 3.
Mm-hmm. I still don't think, I think this 8-sided one's a redhead stepchild.
It may be the redheaded stepchild of the platonic solids. But... It is the one that looks, you know, the most off of all of them.
Yeah, this one's a 5 and 3. I was going to say this one's similar, but no, it's not because it's not the same on every side. It just gets lucky. I guess angle doesn't come into play. I guess it's just every vertex needs to have the same number of faces. Fascinating. So you can't... Can you make one that's bigger than...
No, you can't. Because once you get to a certain point, like you can't put if you let me draw it.
So once you get over 6 sides per vertex, you can't.
So for example, okay, so here's a cube.
It's 5 sides.
So one side, 2 sides is a cube, 3 side, that you can turn mm-hmm. 3 and 3, and you can make a cube, right? Mm-hmm. But you have another one, it's just a flat, so you can't go any further than that, obviously. If you have a triangle, you can do 1, you can do 2. You can do 3. You can do 4. You can do 5. But once you do 6, you get a solid.
Right, okay.
And if you did the same thing with pentagrams, you can only do 3. Just you get, because I think the pentagram's 108 degrees.
It leaves a triangle in there, yeah.
And pentagram's 108 degrees, and so you can only do 3 of them before you start overlapping. And
hexagon, you can't get more than 2.
Yeah.
Okay. I see how that math works. Silly math.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I mean, it's interesting because I've been drinking beer all night, but it's like, you know, it's so easy to prove when you drew it the way you prove, you know, but, you know, when you're looking at it, I'm like, oh, there could be a 12-sided face that could have 12 other 12-sided faces, but when you start drawing it out the way you draw it out, it's like, oh, no. Once you get past 5, you can't have more than 2 adjacents and still fold them in on each other.
Exactly.
You know, so, neat.
This is why they were able to do it. I mean, they were able to do it in ancient Rome, ancient Greece, because mm-hmm. that's the kind of proof they had. They didn't have the complex stuff, but you could still prove it
mm-hmm.
on that level.
Neat. Now we just need more dimensions.
Yes, exactly. If you had more dimensions, then maybe this would be a slightly different story.
We do have more dimensions. String theory.
I want to point out, you can have extra dimensions without necessarily implying string theory. You can have supersymmetry without implying string theory. But as far as we can tell, we have none of those.
I'm going to roll this.
All right.
I want to see how lucky I am.
Let's see. Give this show a roll. What do we get for this show?
We're rolling the 100-sider. The 100-sider! And hit all kinds of 3.
I don't like that roll because it didn't come to a natural stop.
Okay, I won't hit nothing this time. A 67.
That's not bad for a 100-sided die. Let's go with the natural roll of 20. Right. This is the one that, you know, pretty much.
Have you played any D&D or anything yet?
Not yet.
Boom!
Whoa! Bam! A nat 20.
So Greg's show is better than my show. That's it.
Yeah, might as well just pack it up at that point.
Not getting any better.
I just rolled a natural 20. That means I fucking destroyed.
But I got all these little. Oh man, I'll never get those apart. Got 6 rare earth magnets from 2.5-inch hard drives and. I don't know if I could get a single one of these off without a tool.
Yeah.
They are so strong. The only problem with these is they're fragile, right? So you really got to be careful with kids. Like green lasers, you don't really want your kids playing with these either because piece breaks off, piece gets in their intestine. Well, one piece is no problem. 2 pieces could be a problem.
Schmack.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Strangulated. Yeah, so, you know, we throw out a bunch of hard drives, and I'm like, you know, we're throwing all these great, or recycling, you know, but we're getting rid of all these great magnets. So I took 3 drives apart, got these 3, these 6 magnets, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with them yet. I might take 2 and mount them on, like, a stick for, like, picking up the screws and shit out of the garage.
There you go. That's one option. The other option is you can make some sort of propeller system for like a rover for a water thing, like if you want to, right? Because if you want to have something go in the water,
uh-huh.
you can have the inside of it be waterproof, mm-hmm. but then on the outside you have a thing that has a magnet with it with a propeller.
Okay.
So that when the inside of it turns, if it's close enough, the magnet should go through the waterproofing. And should still turn the other one that has a propeller on it. So you can make something that goes like underwater and it still moves around.
Well, they're not going to spin around. They're just going to come to their lowest energy state, right? Closest
well,
together.
Well, no, if you have 2 wheels that have magnets on them
mm-hmm.
and you...
Oh, a bunch of magnets. Yeah. So if I put these in a whole circle, they'll still stop, but that'd be a fun thing because these are kind of curved. I wonder how many will take to build a circle. That's, I guess it's about 60 degrees. So maybe, hey, I got six. I wonder if I could do three and three and mounting these on a frame sturdy enough to keep them in place.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be something that goes underwater. But you, I mean,
I know. But if I could mount these precisely enough and on a frame rigid enough to hold them in place, you could have a neat kind of, what's the right word? It would spin for a while, right? So it's not perpetual. It's not a pendulum. It's almost like a pendulum, though, right? Because it would go, it would keep feeding itself, you know, for a while.
But if it was powered, then you could put stuff in between. You could show, you know, you could show your kids.
Hey, look, I can't get these apart. Damn it.
Yeah. You could show your kids, you know, that you could put a piece of paper, you could put a piece of carpet, you could put a piece of steel between these, and it still is going.
More than three. I judged the angles wrong. Oh, these magnets are fun, though. Really, really strong.
Magnets.
How do they fucking work?
I don't want to hear it from no scientist. You're just telling lies.
Oh, they're not going to fit up equally. They're not up.
That's the, okay. You could space them apart slightly.
Yeah.
And then, you have another thing that's close by it. You have another thing that's just like a here. And if you spin this, then the one above it should spin. Even though they're not connected. So you can make yourself a drive of some sort.
Magnets.
There's
great radio. I'm fascinated with these super strong magnets, and you guys are not. So I think it's about time to wrap this up.
All right. Well, have fun, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
Where's that stop button at?